Tomorrow is December 1st, believe it or not, and it's the time of year to put your tree up and decorate and go shopping. How many of y'all went shopping on Black Friday? I call it Black Eye Friday, right? Where you get beat up over a $12 Barbie doll or a Tickle Me Elmo or whatever. It's that time of year, but in the midst of all the busyness, we can just coast through Christmas. On Thursday, I went up North Louisiana to spend Thanksgiving with my family, and Lori and them stayed up there so they could go to Black Eye Friday. And on my way home Thursday night, I was thinking about the LSU ball game that I was listening to on the radio. I was thinking about my dog, who was my traveling companion right next to me. I was thinking about the sermon and preparing for that for this morning. And I was thinking about everything else but driving. You ever done that? And I was obeying all the laws. I had my seatbelt on. I was following, somewhat following the speed limit rules. I was driving and everything, but I just was not focused on driving. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what we do at Christmas, right? We decorate, we cook, we tell our kids about Jesus, and we do all the Christmas laws, if you will. But sometimes we get so caught up in all that stuff that we just coast through it and we don't think about what it's really about. And it is about the birth of Christ and all the implications for all of our lives. So we just coast through Christmas. And so today, I want us to pull off the road, if you will, for a minute and take a break and remember what Christmas is all about. You know, it's just like when you're driving. You ever drive on a long distance, it's good to take a break and to just refresh and stretch your legs and remember what the road lies ahead, right? And we're going to do that today. We're going to take a break in the midst of all the busyness, all the craziness, all the activities, and we're going to take a look at Christmas. Now, we're not going to look at the Christmas story. You're looking for the shepherds and the wise men in this passage. You won't find it. But I want to give you some activities in light of this passage with regards to Christmas. So I want to give you two key activities for the Christmas season. And I know what you're thinking, more activities, I've got enough to do. But the thing is, if you don't do these two things, you will miss out on the whole reason for Christmas to begin with. And if you do these two things, you can have the most rewarding and fulfilling Christmas that you may have ever had. In our passage, our text is from 1 Thessalonians, and Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and they are not thinking about Christmas. They're looking forward to the return of Christ, and they think Jesus is coming back at any moment. But Paul has to remind them here in 2 Thessalonians 2 that Jesus is coming back at any moment, but you can't just glaze in the clouds and do nothing. You've got to be doing stuff in the meantime. And we are to look forward to Christ's return as well, and right now our focus is especially on Christmas, and there's some things we need to be doing in the meantime. There's some activities we need to do so we won't just coast through Christmas. So, we're going to look at those today. Two key activities for Christmas. So, number one, the first key activity is to reach out and help others. It's a very important thing to do this time of year is to reach out and help others. I read the other day a man heard someone knocking on his door. And for some reason, he didn't get up because it was late at night, I believe. And then he noticed the person went and knocked on the window, and the person was trying to break in the house. So the burglar put his foot into the window. And the owner of the home had a piece of wood, and he knocked him over the head, knocked him out. And he realized afterwards that he was hurt pretty bad. And he said, I don't want the guy dying in my front yard. And for a second, I felt bad. So I wrapped him up and held him together until the cops got here. So he reached out and helped him, right? He reached out and whacked him with a 2x4, but he did reach out and help him. And that's a reminder for us that we're to reach out and to help other people. And in our passage here, Paul gives us four different types of people that we are to help. And with these different people, there's four different gifts. Now, these types of people are in the church specifically, but they're also in our homes, they're in the community, they're in the workplace, and we're to give certain gifts to certain types of people. So I'm going to give you a gift list for this year, okay? So the first thing we see is we are to give the gift of appreciation. We must give the gift of appreciation. Notice in our passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." So he tells them to appreciate those who diligently labor over them. The term labor is to bring effort to the point of exhaustion, is working hard. And the context here is their spiritual leaders, their elders and their pastors. And he says, because he talks about those who have charge over you, who give you instruction, that they are to appreciate, to esteem, and to know everything they do for them and to show appreciation for them. And I know as your pastor that you show appreciation to me and to Brother Eric, and we appreciate that. Last month was Pastor's Appreciation Month, and we got a bunch of gifts and cards and prayers and texts, and I'm so appreciative of that, and not just for that one month, but throughout the year. And so I know you appreciate me, and you appreciate Brother Eric, but that's the meaning here, but I think the application is much broader as well, right? Because there's a lot of people in the church who labor to the point of exhaustion, right? There's a lot of people in this church who teach, who instruct. There's a lot of people in the church that we need to appreciate. We need to appreciate, for instance, the deacons and their work they do behind the scenes. We need to appreciate our Sunday school teachers, and just week in and week out preparing a lesson is a lot of work. We need to appreciate those who serve in the kitchen, who serve behind the scenes. And everything we do as a church, it takes teamwork, doesn't it? I was reminded of that with the fall carnival we had a few weeks ago, and it was a wonderful turnout, a wonderful event. There was a lot of work that people had to do. It was a team effort. A lot of folks spent a lot of time up here preparing for that. And for tonight, the Hanging of the Greens is a team effort. It takes a lot of folks in that, right? And so we're much appreciative for that. So we need to take time and appreciate those who serve. It's like a woman who wanted to feel appreciated. And so she decided to do something for her wedding anniversary. She called the flower shop and ordered 12 long-stem roses along with a card that read, "I love you." And when the flowers arrived, her husband was curious who would send his wife flowers. And then the mystery was solved 21 days later when the credit card bill came in, right? She wanted to feel appreciation. How many people want to feel appreciated? So we need to give the gift of appreciation. And not just to leaders, but to people in our church. Give the gift of appreciation to your child's teacher, to family, to loved ones. We need especially to take this time of year and thank them. Maybe you can send them a card, send them a text, maybe pray for them. And when you appreciate others, it makes them know that what they're doing is not in vain, right? So we need to give the gift of appreciation. So I encourage you to do that this year. But also, you need to give the gift of admonishment. You need to give the gift of admonishment. Notice in verse 14, he also says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly." Admonish the unruly. The term unruly refers to a soldier out of rank, one who behaves in a disorderly way. It is one who is undisciplined and refuses to serve. It could also refer to someone who is actively rebellious. Now we have to remember that Paul wrote this to a church, right? Isn't it amazing that in the church there are unruly people, right? There's people who don't support the church. There are people who don't give to the church. There's people who all they do is sit on the bench and complain and criticize. I think I've told you this before, but it's worth mentioning that the two taxidermists stopped before a window, and there was an owl on display. And they immediately began to criticize the way it was mounted. Its eyes were not natural, its wings were not in proportion with its head, its feathers were not neatly arranged, and its feet could be improved. And when they had finished their criticism, the old owl turned his head and winked at them. You know, there's folks like that, right? They complain. It's too hot, it's too cold, the music's too fast, the music's too slow, There's too many activities going on. There's not enough activities going on. The preacher preaches too long. The preacher preaches too short. And so there's folks like that. How do we respond to them? We are to admonish them. The word means to come alongside and warn them. We are to alert them and tell them about that. Talk sense into them. And so we have to encourage people who are unruly. And the idea is not to be judgmental. It's to help them out, to lovingly show them what they need to be doing the proper way, to come alongside them. You know, a lot of folks that are like this, we don't like to approach them at all, do we? We see them and we go the other way. We go a different hallway or something, but we are to admonish them, pray for them. The thing I like to do if I hear someone criticizing me or is negative, I try to understand their perspective because they have a voice, and somewhere deep within all that criticism, there might be a kernel of truth. And so we have to understand them. And you say, well, how do we do all this? Well, I think the main thing is make sure you're not the unruly person, right? Make sure you're not unruly. So we have to admonish the unruly. So give the gift of admonishment. You say, how is that a gift? Well, it's a gift because it helps the church, but it's also a gift because it helps them, right? It points them in the right direction. Thirdly, give the gift of assistance. Give the gift of assistance. Paul refers to two people here, and again in verse 14, he says, encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak. Encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak. Faint-hearted literally means small-souled. And you've heard of the movie Braveheart. This person would be a movie called Faint-Heart. And it means to lack boldness. Maybe this person is afraid to serve. Maybe they're afraid because of persecution. For whatever reason, they're faint of heart. And then the term weak refers to the frail, someone with doubts. And this person is easily discouraged and overwhelmed with life. Maybe they're dealing with temptation. Maybe they're dealing with a trial, and they're just discouraged. They just run out of gas. Last week, or week before last, I was leaving here at church and heading somewhere, I think, to False River School or to Walmart, one of those. And I realized I was getting low on gas, and not only that, I was about to run out of gas. And so I was chugging along from here to the gas station, and my low gas light doesn't work. I had to learn that lesson the hard way. But I knew it was low anyway, so I chugged along, and I just had enough to coast in and get some gas, and I thank the Lord for that. But do you know of anybody, a person that's run out of gas? Right? We know of people who are discouraged. We know people who are down or having a tough time. I know in our church we have, just of late, several ladies who have lost their spouse or loved one, and we need to especially reach out and encourage them, assist them. They're faint-hearted. They're weak. They need a little TLC. So there's folks going through a rough time. So we need to give them a call. Pray for them. Help them out. Send them a card. Maybe they're going to be alone this time of year in Christmas. Maybe you could invite them over and it's your Christmas dinner. So we need to especially be looking out for these people. You know, we get so caught up in everything and buying gifts and we forget about people have a tough time this year. We need to give the gift of assistance. And then fourthly, we need to give the gift of acceptance. We need to give the gift of acceptance. Notice at the end of verse 4, I love what he says, be patient with everyone. I wish he would have just left the everyone off, right? And just said, be patient. But he said, be patient with everyone. And then verse 15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Be patient. Don't repay evil with evil. And I think he's talking about, you know, there's some folks that are just difficult to love, right? Don't name names, don't point fingers, but there's some people that are just difficult to love for some reason. Maybe they just get on your nerves. Maybe they've mistreated a family member of yours. Maybe their attitude. Maybe they're unruly or whatever it is. We need to accept them and love them anyway. It's like each year the president pardons some turkeys, right? And I saw he pardoned mac and cheese. He pardoned them and let them go free. You know, you may have some turkeys in your life you need to pardon, right? You may have some turkeys that are hard to love that you need to forgive. You need to be patient with them and forgive them. And so as we think about this time of year, we think of gifts of toys and electronics and clothes. And how about giving the gift of yourself and appreciate someone and admonish someone and assist someone and accept someone? And so don't neglect that, because that's what God did at Christmas, right? He sent Jesus to be born and to live among us, and to so he could pardon us, because we're a bunch of turkeys, right? So the first thing we see is reach out and help others. That's very important at this time of year. The second thing is, not only should we reach out and help others, we should take time to worship God. We should take time to worship God. It's like a family celebrated Christmas every year, and they had a birthday party for Jesus. And they had, at their table, they would have a chair that was empty, just a reminder of Christ and his presence during Christmas. They would have a birthday cake and sing Happy Birthday, Jesus, and all the right stuff. And the little girl of the family would go to school the next day, and she would be asked after Christmas if she got everything she wanted for Christmas. And she said, "No, but it's not my birthday." You know, that's a great response, isn't it? It's all about Christ. And we know that, and we understand that, but we need to take time in the midst of all our busyness, all the good stuff, and worship God. Because if we don't take time to worship God, everything else we've done is in vain. We have to take time and worship Him. And just like Paul gave us four different types of people, he's going to give us four different things here, and they are ways we worship God, but they also come as a result of our worship of God. And so here they are. The first thing is, be joyful always. Be joyful always. Look in verse 16. He says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. You know, it'd be good if he just said rejoice, right? We don't have any problems with rejoicing, do we? We rejoice when everything's fine, when our decorations are up, when the turkey's cooked just right. We rejoice when all our family is home, when everything is just fine. But he doesn't just say rejoice. He says rejoice always. It's like when the man walked by a table in a hotel and noticed three men and a dog playing cards. The dog appeared to be winning. He said, "That must be a very smart dog," the man commented. "He ain't so smart," said one of the players. "Every time he gets a good hand, he wags his tail." You know, our tail should always be wagging, right? Because we've got a good hand because of who we have in God. And so because of God, we should always be rejoicing, regardless of what the gas prices are, regardless of what the weather's like, regardless of if the turkey's cooked just right or the turkey is nasty, regardless if all our family's home for Christmas or if nobody's home and we're by ourselves, we need to rejoice. This is like Paul said in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. And that all comes from a heart of worship, of focusing on God, because, you know, it's so easy to lose our joy even at Christmas time, isn't it, right? Is it not? And so we need to be joyful always. The second thing he says is, be prayerful constantly. Be prayerful constantly. Notice in verse 17 it says, pray without what? Ceasing. Again, if he would just say pray, right? It says pray without ceasing. We don't have problems praying at the dinner table. We don't have problems praying during our Sunday school when we take prayer requests. We don't have problems praying when something goes wrong. But he says pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. You know, a good reminder is there's a lot of sick folks out, right? A lot of people who are sick. Have you heard anybody lately who's had one of those nasty hacking coughs? Anybody? It's like, where y'all been? It's all over, right? I'm like doing this deal and trying to hide from people. But it's a hacking cough. It always seems to be there. Just repeatedly. The word translated without ceasing was used elsewhere for a persistent hacking cough. If you tell someone that you're coughing all the time, it doesn't mean you're coughing every second, but it does mean that you're coughing repeatedly and continually. And that's how we're to pray, right? Continually and repeatedly. So prayer is more than just grace at the table. It's always, and we know that, it's staying in fellowship with the Lord. It's relying upon Him at all times. There was a school in Colorado recently who was told that a certain group could no longer meet. They could no longer pray. They could no longer sing religious songs. And I thought, you know, we don't need people telling us we can no longer pray. We do a good job keeping that from ourselves, right? We do a good job keeping ourselves from praying in the first place. We're so busy shopping, we don't have time to pray. We're busy at parties, we don't have time to pray. We're busy going to different activities, we're too pooped to pray. We're to pray, right? And maybe for you, your problem is not parties or decorating or shopping. Maybe it's sports, or maybe it's something else. But he says we are to pray constantly. We're to pray constantly. I want to encourage you this time of year to seek the Lord's face. And we know that, but we don't do that. Are you really seeking the face of God during this time of year? You know, was it saying wise men still seek him? Just like the wise men sought him, we're to seek the Lord. Thirdly is be thankful for everything. Be thankful for everything. Verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So again, Paul doesn't say just give thanks. He says, when are we to give thanks? In everything, right? And I was looking at this and thinking about this the other day. I'm like, man, do we need another Thanksgiving? We just had a Thanksgiving sermon last Sunday. Do we need to be told again that we have to give thanks? And then I was reminded, yes, we do. We need that attitude of gratitude. On the way home, the drive, the same drive where I was just coasting through, I also listened to a part of a sermon by David Jeremiah, and he was preaching on gratitude, and he gave a quote that just really struck me, and it made me remind me that I need to be thankful more. I need to have that attitude of gratitude. And it's given by a man who passed out, and he almost died. He had numerous blood clots, and he survived against all the odds. And listen to what this man said. He said, "I was so grateful. It was then that I learned that gratitude is the best feeling I would ever feel in all my life. It was the ultimate joy of living. It was better than winning a lottery, better than watching your daughter graduate from college, better than deeper than any other feeling. It is perhaps the genesis of all other really good feelings in human repertoire. I am sure that nothing in life can ever match the feeling of being fully, totally, and completely grateful." Oh man, that's good. And David Jeremiah focused on those last words that really struck me. He says that we are to be fully, totally, and completely grateful. I thought, oh man, I'm not always fully, totally, and completely grateful. And that's how we are to be, right? We are to always be giving thanks. And it's not easy to do, is it, to be thankful? Even this time of year, it's hard to be thankful, isn't it? It's just like my wife the other day told me the amount she needed to buy everybody's gifts, and I almost passed out. And I had to get it back in the right perspective and think, man, we can fuss that we have to spend money on all these gifts, or we can be thankful that we have people to buy gifts for, right? We can be upset that we have to put up all these Christmas trees and it takes 4 hours to clean up all the mess, or we can be thankful we have a home to put the Christmas trees up in. Or we can be upset about all the activities we have to go to. Oh, I got to come back to church tonight. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to make finger foods. Or we can be thankful that we've got somewhere to go. And I'll just remind that of myself the other day of just always something to do. It's like you never get it. By the time you're resting, something else you have to do. And I thought, you know what? I'm thankful that I'm needed. I'm thankful that I have a job. I'm thankful that I have something to do. Because there are people who wish they had that, right? And so we need to keep that in proper perspective. And we need to be thankful. And it all comes from a worshipful heart of who God is. And then the last thing, and fourthly, be mindful of the Spirit. Be mindful of the Spirit. We could use a whole sermon on this, but just want to briefly mention, look in verse 19. It says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Do not quench the Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, we focus on Christmas Spirit to the neglect of the Holy Spirit, right? You know, as believers, we all have the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I always like to remind people the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he. He's a person. And the Holy Spirit helps us out so much and guides us and convicts us and gives us boldness and courage and is with us all the time. And he says, do not quench the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit will never leave us, but we can limit the amount of work, the amount of control, the amount of power he has in our lives. And so Paul tells us here not to quench him. Don't extinguish, don't stifle him. See, how do we do that? Well, by living in sin. But I think also the way we do it is look at the context. By not giving thanks in everything. By not praying constantly. By not being joyful always. By not appreciating others. By being unruly. All these ways we can limit the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we can forget about it by not thinking about God during this time of year, right? We think about cookies and trees and poinsettias and candles and all the wonderful stuff that's good, but we need to think about God because it's all about worshiping Him. There were some kids who were putting on a Christmas play, and to show the radiance of Christ, a light was built in the manger. And there was a certain time when all the lights were going to be cut off except for that one light to show Christ. And there's a little boy backstage working all the lights, and he got confused. And when it was time for that one light to come on, all the lights went off, and it was completely dark. Of course, you know how kids are, and all the intensity and anxiety. One kid said, hey, you switched off Jesus. You know, that's a reminder for us, right? As we enter in this time of year, don't switch off Jesus. We need to reach out and help others and take time to worship God. And so as we close, I want to challenge you, who do you need to reach out to today? Jesus, right? But who do you need to appreciate today? Right, we need to appreciate certain people, right? Who do we need to admonish? Maybe you don't want to do that one, right? We want to leave that one alone for somebody else. But who do we need to admonish? Who do we need to accept? Who do we need to help out? Who do we need to assist? Who do we need to pardon in our lives? Think about that. Who comes to mind? Who do you need to reach out during this time of year? And then take time to worship God. Are you joyful today? Or are you thankful today? Or are we caught up in all the busyness? Are we prayerful today? When's the last time you were mindful of the Holy Spirit? Someone put it well, practice His presence. When's the last time you practiced His presence with you? And so be sensitive to the Spirit. And don't forget the greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so I wonder, do you have that gift today? Do you know for sure that you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, I invite you to surrender your life to Him, to give Him everything, hand it over, and just say, Lord Jesus, I want You to be my Lord and Savior. And when you do that, He will forgive you. He will pardon you and give you eternal life. He will give you that joy and that hope and that thanksgiving. So, in the midst of everything this year, don't forget to reach out and don't forget to reach up. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today, Lord. Thank You for this message and just a great little gentle reminder, Father, of this time of year as we are here with Christmas. And Father, we have so much to do. We have a lot going on here at church. We have a lot going on at home. We have a lot going on in our workplace, in our neighborhood. And it's so easy to just do all these things and to coast through and not do what matters. We can forsake the greatest and do these good things, Lord. And so just use this time right now as we begin the Christmas season to just encourage us to think about people that we need to reach out to. Lord, people, maybe we need to just come alongside and encourage someone today. Maybe we just need to come alongside and just tell them that we love them and that we're praying for them. Maybe it's just forgiving someone today. Maybe we have someone we need to pardon. Lord, today, just help us to keep our focus on You and worship You and have that worshipful attitude of joy, of prayer, of thanksgiving, and be sensitive to your spirit today and through the rest of this Christmas season, and care more about the Holy Spirit than Christmas spirit. Pray for those who don't know Christ today, Lord. Let them see the truth. Open their eyes, and Lord, I pray that you draw them to yourself, that they would surrender to you and have, enjoy that relationship with you, so they too can have the Holy Spirit and have eternal life. We thank you. It's in your Son's name. Amen. I ask that you stand today as we sing and respond. Whatever way God has called you to do that, just be obedient today as we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching.
Hope you have a great day, and hope to see you back tonight at 6. And don't forget, if you're a part of the service, stay here for a few minutes, and my wife will run you through what you need to do. So, all right. I'm going to ask Randall, would you dismiss us, please, sir?